for each other. I'll bet you know that parents have sayings. There are phrases that moms and dads use that they've used over the generations to communicate certain ideas to their children. Can you think of some sayings that your parents have told you? Or maybe if you're a parent now, you've thought about using some of the sayings I'm about to talk with you just now. Maybe you've heard these. Money doesn't grow on trees. Or maybe if you're a kid and your room isn't so tidy, you hear, were you born in a barn? Or there's a dad somewhere that if you forgot to close the front door in the summertime, he says, do you think I'm trying to air condition the whole neighborhood? Or what about this one? If so-and-so jumped off a bridge, would you jump off a bridge? How about this? Stop crying before I give you something to cry about. I recall as a kid that being fairly effective for me. Maybe you've heard this one. This hurts me more than it hurts you. And FYI, no kid actually believes that's true. Or we're not laughing at you, we're laughing with you. Really? Really? Or if you keep doing that, your face is going to freeze that way. Or if you do that and get caught and go to jail, you will spend the night. And perhaps an all-time mom and dad favorite, don't make me pull this car over. And the car never actually got pulled over for me, but that threat seems so real. Some of those sayings can cause us to smirk or roll our eyes. And so when we come to a sermon title that says there's nothing to worry about, that's a phrase that often gets me to think, yeah, okay, sure, there's nothing to worry about. That's just a nice saying because I've got things to worry about. You know, our culture and our world stoke fear and worry. How often are the things that you read and the things that you watch overwhelmingly negative? When was the last time you watched the news and saw a top story that was happy? Can you imagine a newspaper headline that reads, government does great job, nation is cheerful? Can you imagine that? That's not going to happen, is it? And the response to negativity is often more negativity. And if you aren't worried about something right now, well, go to CNN this afternoon and browse some news websites. There's enough content on there about the problems that are real and the problems that are imaginary in our world that would get your blood pressure elevated. Not only do we see worries around us, we've got worries ourselves, some big, some small. But I would suggest that the prospect of worrying about something happens almost every day in our lives. When do your thoughts grow anxious? Well, perhaps you worry about your health. You know, as you realize, many of you, as you get older, your body doesn't work the way it used to. And some of you that are older than me are saying, George, you just wait. Doesn't get much better. But we do worry about our health. There's a reason when we pray for each other, many of the requests are often about our physical well-being. We worry about the health of others, a friend, a relative, a loved one. We worry about keeping our job or finding a new job or the right kind of job. We worry about our finances, the debt we have, the monthly bills we have to pay, financial security in the future. We worry about relationships, family, children, friends, coworkers. Maybe you worry about never getting married. Maybe you worry about saving your marriage. Maybe you worry about getting old or dying alone. Maybe you worry about political turmoil. Maybe you worry about the safety of kids and your grandkids. You could worry about the past, the things that you have done. You could worry about the future, what might happen to you. And when I look at that list, I can imagine a mountain of worry. And I'm guessing that every one of us has something on this list that we could grow anxious about. And we probably do. It affects us physically. Trouble sleeping or sleepless nights, headaches, panic attacks, fatigue, aches and pains. The stress of worry is real. And not only are there physical effects, there's spiritual ones too. Rather than being joyful in the Lord, we're weighed down by the heaviness of our worry and fear. Rather than being generous with our finances, we hoard because we're worried that we may not have enough. So what do we do? Where do we go? Thankfully, there's answers. And I'm glad to share some good news from God's Word. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, the Gospel of Matthew, first book in the New Testament. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is preaching probably his most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to drop right in the middle of the passage of the sermon in chapter 6, verse 25. So that's where we'll start, Matthew 6, verse 25. It says this, "Therefore I tell you," Jesus says, "do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Jesus' calm words illustrate just how little our worry and anxiety accomplish. It doesn't add any time to your life. In fact, it might shorten it. Holding on to a worry doesn't provide a solution. It pushes you away from the one who does have the solution. And this passage also highlights the care that God has for all of his creation. You saw that as we read. God cares about the animals and the fields and also the unbelievers, the Gentiles, and the Jesus followers. And what really becomes apparent as you read these verses is an idea, an anxiety-reducing idea, that your Father, God the Father, knows your needs. He understands your worries and your concerns. And he says, I have a better plan for you than to worry and to fear. So God knows, FBC. God's aware of your needs. He knows your needs, and he wants to care for your needs. You know, for many of you, it's refreshing just to tell someone about what's going on in your life. I find it helpful, too. Often when I get home from work, Melissa and I will talk about our day. We'll ask the question, how was your day today? And it usually leads to all sorts of stories. Usually on Wednesday night, there's a story from me about you won't believe what this teen did at youth group on Wednesday night, that kind of story. But as we talk, I'm glad someone else knows. It's calming to recognize that at least one other person understands a little bit about what I'm going through. There's Bible truth to this idea. Proverbs 12 says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. But a good word, a kind word, makes him glad. If the good words of a friend makes things better, how much better is it that God knows? So be glad, church, that your Father knows your needs, and he has the power and the ability to act on those needs as well. God's a providing God. He knows of your needs of clothing, of food, of water. He'll meet those needs. God's asking us to trust his provision. But you know, there's more here for us. Maybe you noticed as you read this passage in Matthew 6 that we started with the word therefore in verse 25. If you're in my Sunday school class, we just talked about these linking words like therefore last week. That therefore points us back to something, to another thought. Why should we not be anxious? Why shouldn't we worry? So let's go a little farther back in Matthew 6 to verse number 19. Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jesus gives us good words. If Jesus says, "Don't be anxious for tomorrow," he also provides us for the do, what we should focus on. Treasure the things of heaven. Treasure the eternal. Treasure God. When we treasure God, we place value and we prioritize and we put God on the throne of our hearts. And then we can trust him to meet our needs. Worry evaporates when we trust in God. And that leads us to the truth of this passage. Treasuring God is the key in trusting him to meet your needs. Treasuring God is the truth here, is the key in trusting him to meet your needs. But here's the problem. We don't always treasure God. We often value things of life more than we treasure God. We value our finances because we want to make sure that we have enough. We value our material possessions and because we want to make sure that we're comfortable. We treasure our talents and our skills, maybe our occupation. Maybe we treasure a relationship or our health more than we do God. We take those important things and we elevate them to making them our treasures. What's wrong with that? Well, God says all those things don't last. They're temporary, and nobody likes it when their treasure could be at risk of disappearing. Protecting your temporary treasure is frightening because what matters to you, now it's vulnerable. We worry when we think something might change, and we worry when we think something might end. And fear rises when your treasure might not always be there. You'll never feel safe. You'll always worry. What if I don't have enough to retire? What if this relationship doesn't work out? What if I don't get this job? What if I have to have this surgery? Our anxiousness grows and our worries start to swirl. So what's the answer? Begin to treasure the eternal. Seek first the kingdom of God. So what does this look like then? Perhaps you want to be successful at work. You want to thrive. You want to be effective. But what if there's a threat to that plan? What if you're not flourishing at work? What if things aren't going as good as you hoped? Maybe your worries start to creep in. Maybe they flood in. And you start to work all those what-if questions in your mind. And that's where we often stay. We stay there. You could dwell on the worry. But instead of that, you decide, you remind yourself that God is enough. That God, he's already been my success. And he'll continue to be that. That kind of thinking is making God, treasuring God, and making him your treasure. You know, in my experience, it doesn't seem to me that this is a one-time moment where you choose to treasure God, and then you're set for the rest of your days. It seems like this is a daily focus and the desire to elevate God above everything else. You know, there are days when I don't treasure God the most. I choose other idols. I put them on the throne instead. But by God's grace, I want more and more to be my focus, to be treasuring God, centered on Him all the days of my life. Treasuring God and trusting Him to meet your needs, it provides such sweet security for the soul. It's so good to know when you're secure. You know that feeling when you're safe and secure? Do you remember when you were a kid and maybe you were camping in the backyard? You were in your tent, and as night fell and you were lying in your tent, suddenly you heard a noise. And your mind didn't go to, oh, that must just be a squirrel. Your mind didn't think that. What did it think? That's probably a wolf or a bear, maybe a stray mountain lion. You start to work all those ideas. And you're wondering, does this tent material hold back the jaws of a wolf as he comes jumping in? And man, you're starting to get your flashlight ready to club whatever carnivore is going to come in your tent. Yeah, there's no way sleep's happening now. So what do you do if you're a kid? You pack up your pillow and you go inside your house where mom and dad are. That's what you do. It's better there. Because, man, a sleep comes a whole lot faster when you're in a secure place with people watching over you. You know, our worry indicates a lack of trust in God. But here's the good part. Worry begins to cease when you start treasuring God and trusting Him for your needs. You know, when your circumstances point you to worry and we're tempted to become anxious, what do? What's our process? What's our treasuring God process? Well, Paul outlines this in Philippians chapter 4. I'll put the words on the screen. Philippians 4 says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, every situation, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." You know, often Paul here, the writer, he's known for his long, winding sentences as he writes letters to the churches in the New Testament. That's not the case here in chapter 4. Paul gives us like rapid fire bursts of truth here. And he's addressing a situation that seems like the Philippians are anxious about. They're worried. Perhaps it's persecution. Some historians believe that this might be the case, that the Philippian church gathering to meet Jesus or to worship Jesus or trying to follow Him, those were dangerous choices. And so here the Philippians, they were facing persecution. And Paul says, you know what? As you worry about your future, I have something better for you. Don't be anxious because the Lord is at hand. The Lord is near. Why is Paul saying those words not to worry? Because the Lord isn't near like He's just some bystander. He's close because He finds you precious. God cherishes His children. He wants to be close with you. You know, I remember when I first started dating Melissa, and as we went along in our dates, I had this original thought pop in my mind. I said, you know what? I think Melissa wants to spend time with me. Like, I think she actually likes me. And I was like, oh, this is great. That's a joyful thought to have. You know, God wants to be with His children. He's ready to do good for you, First Baptist. In verse 7, he said, you see, He's ready to guard your heart and your mind with the peace of God. But you know, there's a lie that shows up on our doorstep here. Worry often arrives when we believe that we're alone. Worry churns up inside us when we think that no one wants to help me, or no one can help our anxiousness increases when we think we have to figure it out. We have to arrive to it on a solution on our own merits. Don't believe the lie. Recognize the truth that God is near. So what does God say since he's so near? He says, make your request known to me. Talk to me. I'm right here. In everything, you can converse with me. You can drop off your burdens right here. What's the heaviest burden you're carrying right now? Is your heaviest burden at work? Is it at your home? Is it something in your mind that only you know about? The vast majority of people I talk with are carrying something, and it's uncomfortable, and it restricts them from being able to rejoice in the Lord always, like we wish we could. So God says, talk with me. I'll take your burden, and I'll replace it with peace. I'll take your worry. I'll trade you peace. This is a beautiful picture of God's grace to us, because no one makes that trade. No one trades your worst stuff and gives you the very best stuff. Worry for peace? Yet that what God wants to give you. You know, and it's not just a one-time trade. What further illustrates God's kindness to us is that this offer is good again and again and again. Because you know what we do? We drop our burden off with God, and then 5 minutes later as we're walking out the door, we decide, you know what, I want that burden back. I'm going to take that and put that back on. Have you ever done that before where you said, you know what, the thing I told God I wasn't going to worry about 5 minutes ago, guess what I'm doing right now? I'm anxious again. I've done that. Isn't it wonderful that God's offer of peace, it isn't a one-time deal. It's not good just this weekend. It's not a buy one, get one free offer. It's unlimited. He's near to you, and he's not annoyed. He's not embarrassed. If you come to him 10 times a day and make a request to God, he wants to hear you because he cherishes you and loves you. What does that look like for you then, a Jesus follower, this peace of God? Well, perhaps it looks like the opposite of being anxious. When your circumstances dictate, oh, I should probably worry about this, you find contentment instead with the peace of God. Maybe you're waiting for your test results to come back from the doctor. What if it's serious? What if I need treatment? So you do internet searches, and guess what? After you Google your symptoms, your worries grow. Instead of thinking, you know what, this is hopeless, I can't enjoy my life, this is consuming my thoughts, instead, you take your burden to God, the God who's near. You trust that your good shepherd will guide you through whatever lies ahead. You recognize that you might be weak, but God is strong, and he wants to guard me with his peace. Maybe you're wondering why your daughter hasn't come home on the agreed-upon time of 10 p.m. Now it's midnight. As you try to figure out what to do and who to call, man, a lump just lodges in your throat. That fear of the unknown strikes you. But you run to these truths instead. You remember Isaiah 41:10, where it says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Maybe you remember John 14:27 that says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You know, in 2 weeks, there's a presidential election. In 2 weeks, could we as Jesus followers with God's grace trade our worry for peace? No matter who's elected as the next president, recalling that we are citizens of heaven first, could others see us rejoicing always in the Lord, knowing that he's near and he's on the throne? In every situation, God gives us a beautiful offer in Philippians 4, and it's this. God says, I can transform a worried heart into a heart guarded by the peace of God. You know, you might wonder, how can I be confident that God will guard me with his peace? How can I be sure that I can depend on Jesus for every answer to the worries that I have? Because sometimes our worries, they are not small. Sometimes the concerns, they seem overwhelming, and your life seems to be crumbling. Maybe you've watched a loved one enter hospice. Maybe you've received the divorce papers. Maybe there's a close relationship that gets severed. So let me encourage you to go right to the very core of the gospel. We find it in Hebrews 7. It says this, but he, Jesus, holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. He's eternal. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. I want you to focus on this phrase, he is able to save to the uttermost. This is a magnificent phrase in the Bible. Circle it, underline it in your Bible, because this is salvation in the big sense, all of eternity. Jesus completely saves you. This is Jesus 100% thoroughly saving all those who draw near to him. He will keep you to the end, and that's forever. There's no exception clause. There's no trigger that if you do this amount of sin, then God bows out of the agreement. The Savior fully saves you. And this saving work includes your worries and fears, the big ones, the ones that have caused you to break down, the ones that are deeply personal, the ones that few others understand. There's another marvelous phrase in verse 25. Jesus completely saves you, and Jesus is always making intercession for you, for his children, bringing your request before the eternal God, working on your behalf. Will there always be a temptation to worry about our circumstances? Probably so. There will always be attacks from the evil one to make you doubt that God's not near, that God's not enough, that God can't help. But fear shrinks in light of the gospel. Worries flee when Jesus, when he intercedes. So rather than trusting in the temporary, God says trust in the eternal. Rather than doing your best to fight off worry yourself, God says, I'll guard you with peace. Rather than wondering if you've done enough, God says, I'll save you to the uttermost. God's inviting you into this type of relationship. He's calling you to commit to Jesus, to turn to him and find hope and security and joy in the Savior Jesus. You know, I'm hoping that you're finding God's plan for worry way better than the temptation to be anxious about the things that arrive in your life. So as we prepare to go out this week, taking our burdens to God and trading worry for peace, let me encourage you to enact a battle plan to get ready, because this all of us will face worry this week. What's the battle plan? Well, number one, get on your knees. When worry fills your mind, pray for courage. When we have our family prayer time together, we often have a section entitled, Help Me, God. And these are the petitions that we bring before God. Our family will pray for, maybe it's something that we need to have help from. Maybe it's help from sin. Maybe it's help for a circumstance. Maybe it's help for us to believe what God says is true. Pray big prayers. Let your requests be made known to God. Don't let Philippians 4 go to waste. It says, but in everything, every situation, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So as you pray, recall the blessings that God's already worked in your life so you can pray with thanksgiving and ask God for help. You know, imagine trying to solve all your problems, trying to ease all your worries by using your limited strength, your resources, when you have a God who's 10,000 times stronger than your biggest fear, and he's right there beside you. God is near, so get close to him. Number two, get going. You can sit in your worry. You can lie in your bed, put your face in the pillow, stew on it. And I've probably done that more times than I'd care to admit. The plan will only keep you in the worry and fear spiral. So create your steps to access the peace-guarding power that God offers. In Matthew 6, our passage that we first read, we find that it says God feeds the birds. But the birds had to go find the food, didn't they? They had to go do something. So write out your worries. Then write out your Bible passages that speak to God's power. Remind yourself of who saves to the uttermost. That's Jesus. You know, there's a song that we often sing in youth group called "Whom Shall I Fear?" The chorus says this. It says, "I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The one who reigns forever, he's a friend of mine. And that's the God of angel armies. He's always by my side." FBC, when God's word says you have nothing to worry about, it's not just a saying. You can truly rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. And that's really good news for us, church. Let's pray. Dear God, there are many worries. We carry a lot. God, in your offering, you're inviting us to take our burdens to Christ. God, we want to treasure you, but there are so many things that glitter and call to us to cling to them. God, there's someone better. There's Jesus that we can trust. We could put a request to, and we can find the peace-guarding power that you offer. God, we can trust you. We know that you guard us. You completely save us. So, God, for the many here that are carrying heavy burdens, God, I pray that they would find relief at the foot of the cross with Jesus. God, would you do good to the many that are here that are carrying things that maybe few know about? God, would you be able to show them that they don't have to be anxious, but they can find hope in you? God, that's your wonderful grace towards your children, to trade worry for peace. God, would you fill our hearts with a desire to give our worries to you and to treasure our God? Thank you, God, for hearing our prayers. We ask it in Jesus' name.